comment, and we're coming to item 7, consent agenda. Anyone want anything pulled? If not, I'm looking for action from the board.
Move to approve.
Second.
And a motion and a second.
All righty. Supervisor Hall?
Aye.
Supervisor Valenzuela?
Yep.
Supervisor Chris?
Aye.
Supervisor Ogren?
Aye.
And Supervisor Cobbsack?
Aye.
Thank you much.
Okay, we're at item 8A, U.S. Forest Service, Shasta Trinity National Forest.
Would you be able to set the light on the far left? It'll make the screen easier to see.
Good morning. Whoever it's in charge.
Good morning. Good morning, Chairperson Cobbsack and members of the board. I'm Rachel Berkey. I'm the Forest Supervisor for the Shasta Trinity National Forest. Thank you for allowing us some time on your agenda to talk a little bit about what's been happening on the Shasta Trinity. With me, I have our district ranger, Joe Rodarm, as well as my deputy forest supervisor, Carrie Otto. Also with me is Chris Christofferson. He's the new forest supervisor up here on the Klamath National Forest. And I'd like to cede a little bit of my time to him at the end here to give him a few moments to chat with you all as well. If we can move along on the topic, that'd be great. So the first thing I'd like to talk to you about is to introduce Joe Rodarm, our new Shasta-McLeod Management Unit District Ranger. Joe's been in place now for 4 or 5 months. He succeeds Carolyn Napper, a name with which you may be familiar. She was on the district there for, gosh, over 10 years, dedicated to this forest for a long time. Joe comes to us from a different position on the forest. He was our forest environmental coordinator and NEPA reviewer out of Reading. He has an extraordinary breadth of experience both here and internationally with the federal government as well as with the military. Joe is an amazing listener and a problem solver, and he is responsive and reliable, and we chose him because of his affinity both for this area as well as for the forest. And he will be developing relationships and moving this program forward into the future with stability in the long run. He is the kind of person that you want on your team, so we are very excited to have been able to elevate Joe to district ranger status. I would like to give Joe just a few minutes to tell you a little bit more about himself before we go on to our forest updates.
Thank you, Rachel. Good morning. My name is Joe Rodarm, as Rachel mentioned. I grew up in Southern California. After high school, joined the Air Force, went overseas for quite a while before finally making my way back to the federal government here and finally back home to California a few years ago. I recently purchased a home in Dunsmuir. I'm very excited to be living in the local area, to be a member of resident of Siskiyou County, and I'm very much looking forward to working with you all in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. Next slide, please. All right, so here is a quick update on our fire season thus far, kind of forest-wide. I wanted to give you guys a little bit of an overview. I was hoping to do this presentation for y'all back in June, so this is kind of a redux. So we're a couple months in now, but still relevant. We have 18 of our 21 engines on the Shasta Trinity staffed. We've got both of our hotshot crews fully staffed, as well as our agency dozers, and the other resources on the Shasta Trinity are rolling in. We also have contract crews and other crews that come along when our crews go out onto fires, so we are well situated right now to provide initial attack resources, both on forest as well as across the region and across the nation. We have a fully staffed prevention and patrol unit that is out and coordinating law enforcement to ensure that our forest visitors are in compliance with our fire restrictions on forest right now and our state limits, which are currently in effect. We have been extraordinarily successful thus far this season, knocking on wood, with our fire suppression efforts. We've had only 21 fires start on forest this year, which is quite low relative to what prior seasons have seen for us. And we've been able to catch all of those fires with a total acreage of about 12 this season, so far. For comparison, in 2023, at this same time period, we had 56 fires by now on our forest, and we ended the year last year with 93 fires and 42,000 acres. So we're doing pretty well for this time of year. The prime difference that we're seeing in this moment is a lack of lightning over our forest footprint and fewer human-caused fires than we've seen in the past. So that's been great. In particular, for the Shasta-McLeod Management Unit on kind of the Siskiyou County area footprint, we've had two fires so far, totaling 2/10 of an acre that our folks have been able to catch. One was lightning-caused and the other was human-caused. And typically, at this time of year, we will have seen a kind of exponentially higher number of about 20 to 30 fires at this point. So looking pretty good, hoping that it continues, but we are prepared if it doesn't. Wanted to also give you a quick update and overview of the upgraded Redding air tanker base and how that's been going this fire season. It's getting ground tested here. What we did is we upgraded the tanker base to load up to 5 tankers simultaneously, which more than doubled the aerial firefighting capacity in the western United States as a result of that upgrade. And so in an 8-hour period now, the base is at full capacity and we have tankers rolling through it, we can load up to almost 250,000 gallons of fire retardant in an 8-hour period. And that is a 76,000 gallon increase from the previous capacity of the base, so things are going very well with having that additional capacity down there. Next, thank you. You're reading my mind. Quick update on some of our land management activities forest-wide, and then I'd like to hand it back over to Joe to give you some more Siskiyou County-specific updates here. But as I mentioned when we last spoke, when I was here chatting with you all, the Shasta Trinity is home to two of our wildfire crisis strategy landscapes that got funded through a couple of special bills that were passed in Congress in these past couple of years. The Klamath River Basin landscape, which is squarely Siskiyou County and broader, as well as our Trinity County landscape. And the Klamath River Basin landscape, this last year for fiscal 24, received an influx of an additional $36 million in funding from the statutes that were funding us originally, and the Trinity landscape has received an additional $34 million, which has allowed us to prioritize wildfire risk reduction projects, primarily around communities, which basically consist of clearing out fuels, thinning, and ensuring that when fires do hit those footprints, they slow down fast enough for our folks to be able to catch them. And that's been our highest priority with the work that we've done. We do have continued national level interest in the landscapes themselves. It is not necessarily looking like we're going to get much more influx of funding on those footprints for the projects that we're all trying to get done. We've been pretty successful in putting that money into instruments that will pay out over a period of time that will allow us to actually partner with folks in the local community to get some of that work done. And so that's been our priority, agreements, grants, contracts, other things like that, that allow us to kind of give an influx of money into the local economy while we're getting the work done on the ground. We continue to see national level interest in those particular landscapes. We've had a visit from a group called the Joint Chiefs, which is the Chief of the Forest Service and the Chief of the Natural Resources Conservation Service, come out and look at the projects that we're doing and provide support for the local community. And the Wildfire Risk Reduction Infrastructure Team is the team that the agency developed in the Washington office to kind of oversee the distribution of these funds onto the 21 different landscapes that they chose. So it's been nice to be able to kind of host some higher profile folks and get them onto the ground to see the work that's getting done.
Okay, on to a quick update on our forest planning efforts. So first one is we have a national old growth amendment. This amendment is going to amend all 128 national forest lands across the nation to have consistent direction to conserve and steward old growth forest conditions. The intended outcome is to preserve old growth and to promote more. This is important because old growth forests have increasing wildfire resilience naturally. Another effort we have is the Northwest Forest Plan Amendment. This amendment is intended to improve fire resilience, adapt to climate change, better protect old growth, incorporate indigenous knowledge, and better support local communities. The Forest Service has issued a notice of intent to prepare an environmental impact statement for each one of these amendment efforts. The public is going to have the opportunity to comment and participate in those processes. Moving on to the Pacific Crest Trail Trinity Alps Land Exchange, we're currently in the process of acquiring 3,600 acres of land from the Trust for Public Land as donations to the Castle Crags Wilderness. Some of these acres are within Siskiyou County, and we are close to finalizing this acquisition. So here's some updates specific to the Shasta-McLeod Management Unit. The South Fork Sacramento Project was developed to reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfire and to improve public safety. Hand crews have begun work in the Castle Lake area, and more fuels reduction is projected to begin this week. We also have a timber sale that should begin work up there very soon. Moving on to a popular topic lately are road updates on the unit. We've applied for funding that would allow us to pave Esperanza Road as early as next summer if we receive that funding. Despite initial indications, Coker Creek Road will remain open if we receive this funding and are able to pave Esperanza Road. But it will be subject to future periodic closures, pending natural events such as mud flows, and available funding to address impacts from those events. We also have repairs to the Ski Park Highway as our highest priority on the unit for future funding. This Ski Park Highway was not eligible for the same funding opportunity that Esperanza Road was eligible for, and so that's why it's going to be occurring in the future, but once we're able to obtain funding for those repairs. Moving on, we recently hosted our Youth Conservation Corps for the summer. Our YCC group is composed of 17 local high school students who are graduating this Friday. We had them working on the forest this summer, where they learned about natural resources while working on projects such as invasive weed removal and trail maintenance. We also have two AmeriCorps crews working on the forest this summer as well. 16 individuals will be working on hazardous fuels reduction. So we're bringing in the crews to increase our on-the-ground treatments. Finally, the unit in the forest is committed to working with our partners to achieve shared common objectives. We will be hosting a partner event in October or November, and we will be inviting the Board of Supervisors to that event as well. More details to come soon. For fire suppression staffing on the unit, it's currently very high, and we've been helping other agencies across the nation and California in suppression efforts this summer. Moving on to current closure orders, Slate Creek Road is closed, continues to remain closed due to storm damage, and will be remain closed for the foreseeable future. We also have a closure order in place for the Rainbow Thin Timber Sale. That's within the South Fork Sacramento project area, and work should begin on the timber sale shortly. Finally, we have also issued a closure order for the Twin Arrows area, which is also within that South Fork Sacramento project area and adjacent to the Rainbow Thin Timber Sale, for Port Orford Cedar Group disease. This area will be closed for approximately 4 to 7 years as we work to eradicate the disease. So I'm going to turn it back over to Rachel, but before I do, we want to thank the county for working so closely with our climbing rangers over the past few months, alongside us on multiple search and rescue missions on Mount Shasta. In particular, I'd like to thank Deputy Sheriff Aaron Jacobson for his leadership, collaboration, and support. He's been amazing to work with, and huge thank you to him. Thank you.
Okay, happy to answer any questions you might have about the Shasta Trinity before I turn the time over to the Klamath Forest Supervisor.
Supervisor Ballinger?
Sure. One of the issues of the ski park, Howie, Joe, we had a telephone conversation here a week or so ago. I think one of the issues is reclassification of that road. I think that's got to be a priority for us to get funding. It's heavily impacted. And it's been a long-standing issue, quite honestly. So maybe we can further discussions will be had. Ms. Berkey, we have a coffee discussion set up here in a couple weeks. Joe, we still have to meet regularly, set that up, and then we can make some progress on that. There is a lawsuit, I believe, on the South Fork project. Is that affecting how that's going on?
There's not a lawsuit on the South Fork project at this point.
Okay. Get her done.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll leave it at that.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I had a question on the Northwest Forest Plan and the Old Growth Amendment. Mainly from the standpoint of how is the agency going to address the responsibility to work directly with counties through the NEPA process in coming up with a new land management plan? Because right now it's all kind of remotely driven out of Portland, and I'm sorry that one size fits all in the Pacific Northwest. This is a joke.
So the Northwest Forest Plan is being handled by and what you're referring to is it's kind of a centralized group that is kind of managing the whole. It incorporates, I want to say 17 different forests across two different regions that spans kind of the entire Pacific Northwest. So they're very much in the beginning stages of their process at this point. Having public meetings in different venues around the Northwest, the Pacific Northwest, and they convened a federal advisory committee that is now currently providing recommendations about which pieces the plan amendment writers should be focusing on, and they've been having federal advisory committee meetings in different locations as well. But I can assure you there is significantly more to come here on this, because we are kind of just starting to roll into piecing this together with this national group, and they're going to be integrating in public meetings each forest and down kind of in more of the local regions as well as we get further and further down the path.
Okay. We recently sent a letter to BLM with kind of a similar process and invoking that we wanted to coordinate with them. I would guess you probably will get the same kind of letter from this county, because I'm very fearful that we'll get some last-minute edict in December that will make the Northwest Forest Plan even worse than the first edict.
We would welcome your engagement, absolutely. Okay. It is only going to get better if we all have a voice in it, for sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor Chris?
Thank you. I echo what Supervisor Valenzuela said on Ski Park Highway. It's a main economic driver for South County, a huge issue. Little Moffat, name dropping, but deliberately doing it. Coming from the Moffat's been engaged in it as well. Sees the importance of it. You know, the economy in the road, traffic, safety, all those sorts of factors
that
we know very well. So a big supporter of moving along, getting that to completion or improvement there. Compliment to Road 31 and any other part of the Mark Keller CMB, a field break project on Road 31, which will be instrumental, you know, hopefully in saving the ski park if the fire were to happen. Thank you for the partnership on that and the organization. YCC, funding-wise, does it seem like stable funding in the future in the YCC program?
We're tracking. We haven't had any indications that that's going to dry up at this point. We've had YCC crews on our district for many, many years in the past. So my hope is that will continue to emerge.
Perfect. And then for Esperance and Plumber, my compliments to Ranger Rodar. We had a public meeting, and the folks were boisterous and strong in their opinion, which is totally respected. Compliment, the way you handled it was perfect, and the compliments I heard from people afterwards for showing up. That's the main thing, just showing up, answering the questions on it. So just to clarify, Esperanza We'll be moving forward with paving next summer. And then Pocono Creek will remain open and not closed, just confirm.
Correct. Pending funding that we do receive the funding for Esperanza. All indications are that we are likely to, but we're still waiting on that confirmation.
Okay.
And so if we do receive that funding, we will go ahead and the plans are to pave Esperanza, pending our NEPA process as well, upgrade it to a maintenance level 4 road. Pocono Creek would be changed to a maintenance level 2 road, but would remain open.
Okay, understood. All right. And just for the county employees as well as myself, we should be remain engaged in the NEPA process for that. Some of the emergency evacuations, all those sorts of factors. Thank you.
Thank you.
Supervisor Holder?
They all took my thunder already. So without being redundant too much, Ski Park Road, we talked about it with our local transportation commission. Keep up the good work on that. That's what we really need to see happen, economic drivers, everything else. YCC, we've talked about it, or CalRC&D, as well as the AmeriCorps crews. We'd love to see them keep working. It's a wonderful thing. It's like we're going to bring those kids up and hopefully keep them working for you, working for us. They're both great programs. So
yes,
one of the things that also we talked about with those two groups is housing. If we can find ways to house those crews, we can keep them working, keep them in our area. So if we can figure out, I know we've had conversations about housing with work crews and that kind of thing, the more we can try to drive that, the better. The more we can engage on fuels reduction work and revise forest management plans, the better. Anything we can do to help you with that, we're here for you. So thanks for all the good work you do.
Thank you so much.
So maybe I won't be redundant. Okay, we'll try this. Road closures in a lot of the projects that happen, and Carolyn has done a great job over the years in what she has done out there, fantastic work. But there's always a new road that's closed with an impoundment of some kind or a gate. And this board has been for keeping those roads open for a variety of reasons, fire, fuel, reduction, access, and a lot of recreationists that use those roads, or even woodcutters that use those roads, keep those open for you all and the public. Why are those impoundments there?
So I take our closures very seriously. I don't close things unless they absolutely have to be closed. So if there is a road that's closed with a forest order that I sign, which legally makes it a crime to violate, there must be the most concise and smallest footprint that we have to ensure either the resource is protected or public safety is protected. Those are the two criteria that I use to determine which roads we're going to close and which ones we're not. Very few forest orders throughout the year do I sign. I can count them on two hands for the entire 2.2 million acres of the Shasta Trinity National Forest, and I will only do so when it absolutely has to be done to either protect public safety or ensure a sensitive resource gets cared for. So if you see roads that are closed or that have blockades or what have you that you do not notice or you have not seen on our website have that kind of closure order, please do let Joe know or let me know so that we can see.
Well, they usually come after a project.
It can be. So if the project is going to impact the road, if there's a dangerous falling of trees or if there's a timber sale happening, there's equipment and all those pieces.
But after it's done is when they're closed.
Then that would need to be brought to our attention if it's being closed without our...
And I'll just use the McLeod River Loop Road at McLeod Fowler's Campground, that loop road. Several of that project, a lot of the side roads that were there traditionally, historically, are now happening now.
By that you mean a closure, a barrier?
Yeah.
We will look into that.
Okay.
Because again, we don't want to be closing roads or trails or areas unless there is a legally defensible reason to do so, and that is public safety.
And I'll just say that historically they've been there. and then all of a sudden they're not.
They're not.
So that's my concern.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not a new road. It's an old road.
Yeah, for sure. And please, when you see those, yes, do let us know, because sometimes mistakes happen and things don't get shifted out of the way when they need to get shifted out of the way.
Okay.
So it kind of takes a village.
Okay. All right. The Esperanza and Pilgrim Creek, great, you know, you're doing great work out there. I would suggest that you move that doggone gate from Pilgrim deeper, because it's coming right off the freeway, and people that have used that traditionally, historically, forever, it's in your face quickly when you come off that freeway. So just a suggestion, but I would maintain that you just keep that road open, period. I get when you have an event, that's different, but where that proximity is, it's looking for a problem, in my opinion only. Military Pass Road, from the flood damage that's happened in the past and the boulders that are now blocking that. We had asked Carolyn in the past to, can you guys just run a dozer through there and open it up? Because a lot of the Mount Shasta Forest, that is an escape route for them, but they can't get through and get out on to what I guess I would call the northeast side of the mountain on Military Pass. It's not passable. And it wouldn't take much but a dozer just to make it, you know, yes, it's dirt, but at least you could get through. You know where I'm talking?
I do.
Okay.
I've been out there relatively recently. I haven't had time to drive the whole road, but part of it. And I'll talk to our road crews, and we'll see what we can get done out there.
Okay. Fuel reduction that you do, are you just masticating, or are you actually, a lot of the fire safe councils that are doing fuel reduction work now are actually contracting with pulling the entire plant at the root, so they're not coming back in there every 3 to 5 years. How do you deal with that? On brush, mainly.
So a lot of our work is, roadside brushing, mastication, hand piling, burning piles, those sort of, and thinning. In timber contracts. I'm not aware of a project that actually has been pulling the roots out. I can look into that, and I'll ask our specialists about the viability of that in future projects.
I mean, I know there's some of it that's habitat, I get that part, but we're back in so often it just gets real expensive. There must be a way to be able to accommodate the habitat and also not have to go in so frequently. The acquisition of the property on the Castle Craig, is it coming from private into public, or is it public to public?
It's from the public land, trust land. I believe
it's private to public.
It's private to public.
Yeah, it was timberlands.
Yes.
Provided to the Trust for Public Lands, donated to us.
Okay. So my concern is that each time, and I don't know what the tax base would be, but property tax is a huge concern for our county. Taxable property in the county is 10 to 12%, and we can't afford to lose any more. We have a no net loss resolution, and we ask that if there's a way to accommodate that. We're interested in talking about that, because I mean, I realize that as a private property owner, they can do what they wish. But in the past, we've looked at trades or offsets so that we didn't lose a total amount from that potential purchase.
That's an excellent point.
And we have to fight for Secure Little Schools money,
yep,
which traditionally was the offset.
Right.
And so
right. Just
it gets more difficult. So. You get where I'm coming from.
I do.
And then lastly, I'll leave it at this, is Everett Memorial. I don't know if we've corrected the parking up there during the winter. We've kind of gone back and forth. There's not enough room, and I guess it's environmentally sensitive to create a lot up there, but we need to address it to, in the past, we've had conflict, and we just need to get something up there that provides for those that trailer up there with snowmobiles versus those that are just skiing that may not be pulling a trailer, but we got to figure it out. So that, I mean, I don't know that it's been a problem the last couple of years. At one point it was pretty big, but anyway, if there's some way that we can address that.
Yeah.
I have to speak back.
Sure.
But Joe, while we have our conversation, we're going to talk about the drainage issue, the flooding event that we've had off of that, and our ongoing concerns, particularly with constituents right there. So put that on our to-do list.
Definitely will do. And we're looking into both those issues as well, kind of consecutively at the same time.
Okay. Thank you. Anyone else?
I was going to wait for Chris.
Yeah.
All right. I will turn it over
Thank
to Chris.
You.
Thank you so much for your questions and your time.
Christopher Stomperson, Board Supervisor of Claims and Insurance Reports. So I'll start off with a thank you for the support on the Shelley Fire to Supervisor Ogren and out. So thank you for attending the meetings, sharing the key messaging, encouraging people to follow the evacuation warnings and get out and make it safe and can. So a few updates and tagging on to what the Shasta Trinity shared. And so I'll start with RAC. So Resource Advisory Committee. So we don't have a valid Resource Advisory Committee in the county. We have around $800,000 in the bank. And so we are going to be submitting that that nomination package so we can get the RAC reestablished and get the money back to the ground where it needs to go. I also heard mention of roads. And some of these roads I motorcycled through yesterday and verify that the closure was in place for human health and safety concerns, and so good job, Supervisor Berkey. I'm a huge public roads and lands advocate and access advocate, and so you will see that reflected in how the Klamath National Forest manages our public access. Northwest Forest Plan, and so that was brought up, and so we are in the initial stages of talking about when and where we're going to have our public meetings to encourage comment and talk about what are the key changes in that amendment. And so, as you know, that amendment has huge implications about how we can safely manage our forests and get them into a more fire-resilient state. And that is something that we all want. That's what we need. And so your involvement is going to be very important with that. And so, Supervisor Haupt, to your point, I don't know the answer to how that's going to look as far as county engagement with that process, but more information to come on that. Speaking of roads, actually the point that I wanted to make before I got sidetracked was the Grayback Road. Has come up. It's an important travel route for people living downriver, getting up into Oregon. There are serious issues with that road currently, and so there is another funding opportunity through Federal Highways. We'll be submitting another application, I believe, next year through the around 12 million, 12.5 million is the minimum ask for that, so I'll be reaching back out to the county supervisors and asking for a letter of support with that as well. So more to come on that. In terms of other projects that we are working on to reduce fire risk and get our forest into a healthy state, and so the Shasta Trinity and the Klamath National Forest are going through a two-forest analysis for fuels reduction and fire reintroduction. And so that is going to be looking at both units and determining what and where we need to take action to increase the pace of what we're doing and the scale of what we're doing. So more to come on that. And so the Northwest Forest Plan Amendment timing is interesting. It will be coming in behind that with a decision on the two forest fuels reduction project. And then the last piece that I wanted to mention is that I was just talking with my forest leadership team yesterday and fire staff about managing natural ignitions in wilderness areas. And so I asked them, what do we do? What's the plan? Do we have a strategy? And the response was, we've been talking about this for years. We need to develop a strategy on how we manage natural ignitions. And so I'll be working with my team this fall, this winter. I'll be working with interested members of the supervisors council. I just provide your help. I thought you might be interested, Supervisor Ogren, so thank you in advance for that. But one, we want to identify where we're not interested in managing fire for resource benefit because of proximity to structures, to private property, and we also want to identify where do we have opportunities to let fire work as a natural process to get these areas back into a healthy state. And then what are the questions we need to be asking when we have a natural ignition at the right time of year? And so I want to involve all of you with that. Because we have all seen examples of how things have gone very awry and with unintended and horrible outcomes. And so we want to avoid that at all costs. With that, I'll answer any questions that you might have.
Supervisor Chris, we'll start on that.
Thank you. One of the things here, the Youth Conservation Corps, Mark Keller, CED, did a good job partnering with the California Association of those programs for the YCC group in the Butte Valley for the Goose Nest Ranger District. Wanted to talk to you about two main things. You brought it last time. We were talking about the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, and you brought up vegetation there. And I figured you'd had a little thing going over on in Etna, so I wasn't going to bother you with this. But for the Harlan Project or those areas, for Butte Valley, there's no rivers that flow through, so a source of water. Butte Creek, for example, that flows through and then it begins like the earth cracks at the base of Butte Creek. When that creek is flowing full bore, the adequate vegetation has been removed, it increases the groundwater runs there in the area. So as part of our plan for a Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, where the county, long story short, has to manage the groundwater for certain sub-basins. Part of our goal is vegetation management abundant, so be happy to connect with you on that, and with our teams on what we did to increase the water yield in the area because of overstocking the forest right now.
Wonderful.
And then next subject would be the water yield, of course, for all the creeks, every shallow creek or anything, try to increase the water yield for fisheries and agriculture. And then Oar Lake, there's some issues there. When it was put in there, several years back, there were some complications with it. The State Water Board's been involved. The water right users below that have been impacted. And what fixes need to be done for the Oar Lake diversion? And I'll let you catch up on that before I corner you right now. But there's some controversy on that. Arguments that more water's been retained than should be, and all those sorts of factors. And there are legal, more senior water rights down below.
And Supervisor Chris, have you reached out to my office and staff regarding Oar Lake?
Not for a while, no.
Okay.
This was done a few years back. I'm looking at my memory over there. This was done a few years back.
Okay.
Previous. And then, of course, there's been some turnover and stuff, so we're trying to work that out.
Right. If you, Supervisor Haupt and Ogren, they've got my contact information. If you'd like to reach out to me personally, I can put you in contact with my staff, and we can help track that down.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Supervisor Gobie?
Okay. Thank you for your amazing work on the Shelley Fire. Unified Command started off very, very quickly. Huge amount of resources right off the bat. Just absolute proactive work when it comes to direct attack and suppression was amazing, and it kept everybody safe. No structures lost, no fatalities. You did amazing work, and we thank you for that. Haven't seen work like that in a long time, and it was impressive. Thank you. Junipers and biomass and all kinds of great things. Have a couple projects in the works with that kind of stuff. And I'll be contacting you along with probably Supervisor Chris on what we can do to help our water situation and get rid of some junipers, not only on the east side, but also here in Shasta Valley. We've got some things in the works. If you don't know about it yet, we'll be talking.
Yeah, I haven't been briefed on all of the projects we have got going on, but I know we, the Klamath has a an agreement with Siskiyou County that has not been utilized yet, and I'd like to utilize that master stewardship agreement and get some money from non-appropriated sources and get it to work in the county. So,
Supervisor Bouncer.
I'm good, thank you.
Supervisor Howe.
First, I want to say thank you for the Shelley Fire. My perspective, Chris, I haven't seen such a strong working relationship between the county, the Forest Service, and CAL FIRE in a very long time. Certainly not of any recent leadership on the path. I really appreciate your presence. Actually, having some command presence on the fire made a huge difference, I think, both with the public, certainly with my impression that you gave me, as well as being able to develop a partnership with CAL FIRE and take away kind of the suspicion that we're somehow different and doing different things on the fire. I really appreciate that. My second, one thing that I was talking about was RAC. Thank you very much. I've been pounding on RAC for 2 years.
Yeah.
Because there is unspent money that on one of our field trips that could be used for replacing fence and those kinds of things for a range on the east side that's been burned up on the tenant fire and some of the other things that's prohibiting the actual administration of the range permits out there. And the money's just sitting there.
Right.
It's just a travesty. I appreciated our conversations with the breakfast we had. You regurgitated a lot of them already, and I really look forward to sitting down with you and working on some of these things. Water in particular I won't get into today.
Thank you.
You said that at breakfast. But it's something you and I need to work closer together on. Fuels. I'm very concerned with fuels management when it comes to the Northwest Forest Plan. And the greatest fallacy, I believe, in the Northwest Forest Plan and the previous plan was the lack of recognition or implementation of the Southern Province fire-dominated ecosystems. We cannot afford to do that again. That's why we're having what we have right now on the landscape. So I'd like to start working with you with spatial arrangements of openings, that moderate fire behavior, especially in urban interface, places like that, where we can work together. And also working with the county and our partners on the private lands adjacent to the forest to avoid another Shelley fire, because I know your options are limited because it's wilderness right there. I don't have a lot of questions. I've got some things I'm just kind of throwing at you, so you can think about them. One is road closures. I'm really concerned, especially on the west side of the forest. And I'm going to go back in history, back 1998 when I was a ranger over there. I saw, and I've seen it again on the Klamath, there's a culture of some specialists who like to put in road closures. And I did a thorough road review, and I would appreciate it if you would do the same thing. I went through our entire road inventory to find out whether or not a gate or a closure actually had a forest order behind it or an EPA. And I found 150 of them didn't. And consequently opened them up. My biggest concern, too, is there's also a number of timber companies that are new in our area that really like closures, to be risk averse, if you will, from a liability standpoint. However, the public has paid the public share and the cost share on those roads. And legally, they cannot be closed unless you're going to renegotiate the cost share. So I'd really appreciate it if you take a look at that, because I'm seeing gates where I never saw them before. And I know some of them are cost share roads. And anyway, it's infuriating the heck out of the of the hunting public. I hear it constantly from folks.
And I know we have a meeting coming up, I don't know if it's next week or 2 weeks, but you know, maybe we can grab a map and pinpoint some of those. But I mentioned earlier shamelessly that I love off-road motorcycling. It's one of my passions, and you know, just hunting and exploring in general. And so I share your sentiment when roads get closed without the proper review and publication and giving the public an opportunity to actually comment on, hey, this is Grandpa's favorite road. We've been using this for 100 years. I also recognize the need to protect you know, endangered species, whether it's salmonids or fur bears, and the responsibility that the agency has to do that. But what you're highlighting is often a difference in perspective with a specialist, mm-hmm. and whether it's through the inattention of the line officer or just the line officer not knowing about it, things can happen. It's a huge landscape. And so, so communicating what you're all seeing, bringing that in from the public, and we'll take a look at it and either justify what we're doing or we'll make amends.
And if you do that, I'd like to have whatever assessment you come up with so that I can answer the questions from my constituents that keep asking these questions, because right now I got nothing. I'm flying blind on this. And regarding the wilderness fire piece, please, let's have that discussion. I don't know what happened to the Klamath. It was a very elaborate decision matrix on where, when, and how. It took years to develop. I don't know where it went. But anyway, we need to have a discussion, too.
You know, in speaking of roads, I am working with our roads engineer, and I'll be working with our previous roads engineer on the MODOC, who was very proactive with getting state funds for maintenance on level 2 roads. And so currently the Klamath has not been tapping into those funds that are available through green sticker, but that we're leaving money on the table. And so we'll be talking about those opportunities, and then also looking to rebuild when we can some of our engineering staff and capacity, because trying to get equipment operators and engineers up here from somewhere else is very expensive. And so to have the staff that can actually do the work and support the roads and maintain the roads is very important. So that's more to come.
Glad you're here. Thank you.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Looking forward to the future.
Okay. And with that?
Just a quick question with regard to probably both forests. With regard to what they're calling, I guess, the copper forest or the copper landscape with the dead trees from the drought, it's most noticeable on the west face of Mount Shasta. What's the plan? I mean, I know it's huge, but are you letting woodcutters get in and help clean up, or is there any market for it? What is there a plan? And I don't know if it's in the Klamath as much as I see it in the Cherokee.
Well, we've got the ranger right here, so let the ranger handle it. Thank you. And good luck with this question.
Thank you, Chris. Appreciate that. You know, we have become aware of the issue on the west side of Mount Shasta with the dead trees. We are waiting for an inventory on those, and our specialists are monitoring the situation, as are our fire staff as well. And we will be looking at a new NEPA project in that area in the near future.
So there's potential?
There, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Great.
Yes.
Take 5.